Turkey. And so if you think of provinces like our states, that kind of gives you an idea how Rome would have looked on provinces. And Galatia, in particular, Galatia originally was an ethnic group. By the time Rome had taken it over, in the time of Pompey, roughly the middle of the 1st century B.C., by the time Rome had conquered it in Pompey's day, it was about the center of Turkey. And so the churches that Paul had planted there, Paul had discovered were drifting from the gospel that he had given to them, a gospel about the freedom that we have in Christ. They were putting themselves back under the bondage of the law. Some were saying, in fact, to the men of the churches that they had to be circumcised, these Gentiles. And certainly the teaching that was a false teaching of the time was to say, you've got to live under the law, under the yoke of the law, in order to be saved. And so it is that Paul wrote this letter of correction to the churches of Galatia, saying that essentially, look, the sacrificial law of the old covenant has been fulfilled in Jesus and him on the cross. The moral law, of course, remains, but the sacrificial law is done. The lamb that was day by day by day sacrificed on the altar in the temple, all the bulls and other animals that were slain there so that the blood could be splashed upon the people, that's finished. Hebrews tells us that in Christ, all the law is fulfilled. And so Paul writes in this letter, I just refer you to the third chapter of Galatians, the 23rd verse to the 29th in particular. Now, before faith came, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version. You're going to see before you the New International. But the English Standard, I think, really captures the Greek most clearly. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons and daughters of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. Here ends the reading, then, of the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, Kinsley, I chose this passage where Paul teaches a little bit. It's only one verse in it, but teaches us a little bit about the meaning of baptism. So I chose this especially for you. Paul tells us two things in the beginning, two things in the end. We belong to God, and because we belong to God, we also belong to each other. The church is that place in which all, neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, there's no male and female. We are all one in Christ Jesus. We belong to each other because we belong to God. There's two images that Paul uses to describe the role of the old covenant law that he was speaking about that we're now freed from. Under the law, first of all, we were in jail. He says we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. The law is, in a sense, our jailer. And secondly, he says that the law was our guardian. He says the law was our guardian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. Now, there's a specific word that's used for guardian here. It's a pedagogue. And some of you might recognize that word, pedagogue. It means someone who teaches. But in antiquity, in the day of Paul, the word pedagogue really meant a slave who accompanied their young master to the teacher, to the one who was teaching them. It was a slave who was more or less to be their disciplinarian. And so he wasn't their teacher, but he was their disciplinarian. And what Paul's saying is that our disciplinarian and God's dispensation was the law. But now we live under a new dispensation, which is that of the new. And it's called testament. Because like a will is a testament, so that only comes into effect when one dies. So when Jesus died, the new testament becomes for us the new covenant that's written in his blood. And so when you come to be baptized, what's going to really be symbolized in that is that you are washed in his blood. And so the new covenant is being poured out upon you, upon your head, as it has been upon all of us who have been baptized into Christ. I find it very interesting that you have chosen white this morning to wear. You've chosen your finest. And that is so appropriate because in the days of the early church, even in the time of Paul, what people would do is they would wear their finest to worship. And in particular, those who were to be baptized would wear white. It was a symbol that they were washed in the blood whiter than snow. That's a contrast, isn't it? You think about blood. What color is it? It's red. If we put our clothing in blood, all our clothing would be stained red. But what happens because of Jesus' death for us? We're forgiven. We're cleansed of all our sin. And so one of the images that's used of that washing away of sin is the image of snow, that we're washed whiter than snow. Another is that of the pure and spotless wool of sheep. We're putting on that new clothing that only Jesus can provide us. You've got white clothing, almost like an angel in the sight of the Lord and all of us here together. Now, another way I just thought of trying to illustrate what Jesus has done for us. Now, I know there's carpenters here among us, so please don't laugh. But Paul speaks in particular about justification. about our being justified by the work of Jesus on the cross, by our faith in that work. Now, this is called a carpenter's square. And a carpenter's square is an appropriate sort of illustration of what it means to be justified by our faith. Now, carpenter's square, and I looked this up, says that they can be used for, what, five things in specific. Marking out right angles. See that right angle? They can be used for laying out stairs. They're called stringers, if you want to know for real what it's called. The stringers of a stair. Roof rafters, you can make sure that they're at the right angles. They check in corners, things to make sure that they're square. Now, let's see. Let's see if this is square. Yeah, that's pretty close. So, see how square that is? Let's see if this is square. This is a cheap piece of wood. Oh, look at that. That's pretty close. And if you want to actually, like, cut this shorter, you can, like, lay it here, and then you would take a pencil or a piece, a nail, and, like, scribe the place that you want to cut it. The thing is that it's used to make sure that all your corners are square. Being justified means that we're made square in the sight of God. Not by what we've done, but what by God's done through His Son. Through the gift that He gave us, that Jesus decided to die for you and for me. He wasn't made to. He decided to. And the garden, the night before He was betrayed, He was there praying. And He asked the Lord, His Father, God, take this cup from me, the cup of the cross. But then He also said, not my will, Lord, be done, but Your will be done. That should be all of our prayer since we come to believe in God. It's sometimes hard to say, not my will be done, but Your will be done. But we want to be right with God. We want to be justified and made righteous. Righteous means being made right with God because we're following in the footsteps of His Son, Jesus. Seeing your clothing, how beautiful it is. One last thing I would say. Baptism is not you dressing in your finest, best clothes. It's God dressing you in His finest, His best, His Son, Jesus. Father, we thank You for what You've done for us. Jesus willingly went to the cross to die for us so that we might be forgiven, justified, made righteous, not by what we've done, but by what He's done. Help us, help Kinsley to ever follow You. Amen.